John, tag, you're supposed to run after me after I touch you. You can't. That's not how tag works, the way you're playing.
It's a regional thing. I'm playing Midwestern rules.
Oh, I should have known that. Okay, yeah. My bad. Yeah. Sorry.
Hey, speaking of, Dave, you know, with Memorial Day coming up,
I'm guessing you're
probably getting ready for plenty of fun days in the sun.
Oh, my gosh.
Am I right?
First, I have to learn these rules for tag. But, yes, everyone knows this, John. Everyone knows that time in the sun is best enjoyed with a pair of shades that you don't have to baby.
Oh, yeah.
Knockaround is the original affordable sunglasses company, and they've got just what you need for Memorial Day weekend, MDW, for those of us who celebrate all year, and all the way through summertime.
They do. And with over 20 different frame styles, there's something for the whole family, including tons for kids.
So, whether you're looking to rock a pair of red, white, and blue shades for the big weekend, or just to restock your collection before summer gets here, Knockaround has you covered.
Now, Dave.
Yeah.
Did you know that all their lenses have UV 400 protection, which is basically like sunscreen for your eyeballs?
Oh, man. And I've put copper tone just right on the old ojos, and it burns. It is burning still to this day.
Yeah, well, you keep putting it on.
Well, it's a habit. With polarized adult pairs starting at $28, you can get a few pairs to leave in your car, toss in your beach bag, or lend to a friend in need.
You know, Dave, where I come from, Memorial Day weekend means it's race day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and
oh,
there's no more important place to have some shades than outside at the track.
Oh, yeah.
If you've heard me say that once, you've heard me say that a million
it's
times.
It's on your front yard.
I think I might actually just buy a pair of Knockarounds in that color.
Yeah.
Like in the color of each car, actually.
Yeah.
And it's switching back and forth based on who's leading the race.
Love that. That's one of the best ideas you've ever had.
So listen, Dadville fans, take that idea and run with it. Also, don't be the one squinting through family beach days or trips to the park. Go to knockaround.com and use the promo code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
I just said that.
Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Believe. John.
Dave.
John.
Dave.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I take a second and just speak to the people?
Yeah,
I just be vulnerable.
I don't see anybody, but sure.
They're out there, Dave.
Okay.
Listen, people, it's important to Dave and I that the supplements that we take are of the highest quality.
High.
And that's why for many years, we've both been drinking AG1.
Mm-hmm.
Because unlike many supplemental brands, AG1 conducts relentless testing.
Never stop.
They're doing it right now. To set the standard for purity and potency.
That's right, Johnny. So many people have asked us if AG1 is the real deal.
I get the question all the time.
Trust me. There's a reason why we've been doing this for so long, everybody. Jeez.
Look, quality for AG1, it's not just a buzzword.
No.
Okay? It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing.
Oh, my gosh. Okay? They're sweating while they test it.
Exactly. But they cover it all up, so it's not going to get in the product.
Don't worry about that.
At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards.
We know we can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants.
Wow.
And banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10.
That's insane. Well, taking care of our health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by replacing multiple health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop.
Good gracious, John. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support.
We've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high-quality product that we genuinely look forward to drinking it every day.
That's right. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1/dadville.
That's drinkag1/dadville.
How often is Spider-Man in the uniform? Is this every day for a couple months here or what? Oh,
every day there's at least one Spider-Man sock or a wristband or a watch. Yeah. Or
some article.
There's an article of Spider-Man paraphernalia. Sometimes you got to look for it, but you know, whenever he poses, it's always the standard Spider-Man stance.
Yep,
of course.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
The day that there's no Spider-Man.
I'm loving the vibes. I'm loving the... What kind of piano is that? Is that like a... That looks
this
pretty
is
impressive.
This is a Yamaha B1. It's the smallest piano that Yamaha makes that I know of.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Are you guys in Nashville?
Yeah. Yeah, where are you at?
San Diego.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh.
You guys give off Nashville vibes, like, immediately. Like... The way the hair is, the colors, like, I'm like, this feels like Nashville to me. You know what I'm saying? So you guys are right on brand.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if I want to put off Nashville.
I got to hear more about the colors. I'm terrified.
I do think Dave's hoodie screams Nashville.
Yeah, I'm kind of coming in hot with the hoodie.
That's what it was. Yeah. I was like, okay, that feels like Nashville. Okay, so I didn't know I was dealing with musicians, too. I'm a musician as well.
Oh, no, that we know. We know. Okay, listen, we're jumping in too much here, Glenn. We got to back up. Okay, so what we do... I love the hands up. My bad. So one of the things we do when we start the episodes off is we could do a little bit of, like, we call it the brag sheet, who you are and what you're doing. So I'm just going to kick it off. Here's your life. Buckle up. Glenn Henry. By the way, we found this on your LinkedIn, which is like my favorite way to ever find information. So I was like, this is, you're one of those annoying, like, humble guests where you're not putting your stuff on the streets, which was like a little... Like, I had to do some digging. You know what I mean? This wasn't like, you know, my bio, a father, a lover.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't that
absolutely.
Thing. So, you know, I'm not sure it's going to go down because LinkedIn, you know, we'll see. But this is it. Here we go. Glenn Henry is a father, husband, creative, and CEO. His company, Belief in Fatherhood, began as a YouTube channel and has now become a multifaceted production company. Known as Belief to his music fans, all the music for Belief and Fatherhood's productions are made in the house, which, by the way, it's really great. I mean, mm-hmm. John and I have already talked about this. We're both professional musicians. I was like, okay, I see you out there. He's appeared in Dad's Film, directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, as well as shows such as Steve Harvey and Oprah. In 2020, Glenn became an ambassador for voting, joining Michelle Obama in the live segment of When We All Vote. His mission to guide men into fatherhood, and he's also committed himself to equipping fathers to love and lead their families into eternity and to nurture other creatives through inspiration. He also hosts the How Married Are You podcast, which, man,
what
I caught some clips
title.
Of that. It was wonderful, by the way, with wife Yvette. And is working on the Black Sesame Street called Chocolate Baby Storytime, which, if that wasn't a show, would be the greatest funk band name in the history of time. Also runs BelievInFatherhood.com, where I love this quote, "We're proving great fathers exist one day at a time." I want to tell you before we start, I have been so excited by getting together with you. Like, I have been such a fan for such a while. And finally I was like, all right, we gotta make this happen. Like, it's like, if I have to drive him crazy, I just gotta drive him crazy. But I love what you do. I love what you're about. You know, you're one of like the two or three guests I feel like we've had on that. If there's a middle of the Venn diagram for Dadville, you are mm-hmm. situated in the exact middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thrilled to have you on. So thank you. So I know, like you said, you're doing your dad thing today. So it means a lot. You make some time for us.
Hey, man, I'm honored to be here, man. It's cool when people do research, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
We're just kind of like, so what do you do? And, you know, I heard you had followers, so I wanted to get you on,
yeah.
You know, so.
No, man.
Know that we're like, you know, kind of stepping to the same, marching to the same beat, you know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean?
It's,
oh, yeah. I do have to say, as I was doing my research, I loved everything that I was seeing, and more and more and more, I was like, maybe this is a future episode down the road. We got to get you and your wife on.
Oh,
she
100%.
Is great. She's fantastic. I love your podcast,
man.
That you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, she's treasure, man. Like, she's real treasure. She's accountability. She is, you know, she's just a good wife, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And, you know, sometimes, like, my wife... she slow cooks, right? So she's like she gets better over time. You know what I'm saying? Where most of us are looking for, like, hey, like, what the heck? Like, I need this to happen now. Like, my wife will, like, assess, get accountability, go to therapy and be like, you know what? Maybe I could work on this.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh my gosh, like she still gets better over time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like, that's, it's awesome to be in a relationship with someone who doesn't stop growing.
Yeah.
You that's great.
How long have you guys been married?
We've been married, it'll be 14 years in August. Mm.
14 years and you have four kids.
Four kids.
Yeah.
11, 9, 7, and 4.
Man, I mean,
I love.
I think the first thing I seen saw that turned me on what y'all are doing was the what's your son, the youngest with the Spider-Man?
Uzi.
When Uzi, it's that video, it went viral where like he's, where you see him stop and you're like, this is a, the narration, by the way, for those who listen and don't know what Glenn's doing, it is so good. But what to me puts over the top is the narration and you're like, and you pause it, you know, and you're like, all right, what you're seeing here is a boy who's about to make it. It's a, I cried watching that. And then it led me to all your other stuff. And I was like, man, I just love what's going on. So tell me this, like, tell me about growing up. Like what, where'd you grow up?
I'm from Baltimore, Maryland, actually.
Oh, dang.
Originally from Baltimore, Maryland. I grew up in Baltimore County, which it's a little bit different from the city, but not very much.
Yep.
Single mom. Dad had custody during the summertime, so I would fly to California every summer.
Oh, dang. Where in California?
San Diego. So
oh, gotcha.
Here. Yeah. So my mom was like young, had me at 16. Mm-hmm. Really just trying to figure out her own life while trying to raise me. Really not a lot of turmoil. Like I didn't feel it, but I knew she had childhood trauma that was kind of being dumped onto me. And I was suicidal at 9.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, kind of like thinking that I'm the root to all her problems. And then, kind of massage those thoughts and they will come into fruition at the age of 19.
Dang.
And just kind of like nothing was working out. I got kicked out my grandma's house. Like, you know, it's bad when grandma kick you out, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just wilding, sleeping in cars, like just, you know, only for like a couple weeks, but in Baltimore, it's a cold winter, you know?
Yeah.
So
a week sleeping in a car is the equivalent of a year of anything else.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And so,
so how old were you when you started doing the summers in California? Was that your entire childhood?
I was 2 years old. My grandfather would fly me out. And then eventually, you know, like at like 7, they let you fly by yourself. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So that's what we were doing.
What were the summers like with him? Was it good?
It was purposeful. You know, I would say that they weren't rich by any standard, but to be in a two-parent home where my dad and my stepmom and my little sister, you know, had a family and it was just me and my mom on the other side. It was a big contrast because in Baltimore, I was very self-sufficient. Mm. I was a latchkey kid. Right. I knew how to make my own eggs. You know what I'm saying? I knew how to make all my stuff because I was, you know, kind of like the man of the house. But when I got into their home, it was like, don't touch the stove. Don't, you know, I was kind of sheltered and I was bored. You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, it was a lot of love there. It just wasn't a lot of one-on-one dad time. Like we'd go to get our hair cut together and do a couple things, but not as much to make up for the having the rest of the year, not having them around. You know what I'm saying? So I began to like despise being like a parent. Like I just thought children were the worst ever. You know what I'm saying? Because it just seems like such a burden.
Because my mom felt like you were a burden to your parents.
Well, I felt, you know, like what's understood doesn't really need to be explained. It wasn't that I was like a burden, like they hated me. I just knew life would be easier when I'm not around. You know what I'm saying? Like my mom really got to live it up during the summer. You know, having my dad having to welcome me and then let me go. And that was hard for him. And it was like a lot of like depression at the end of our little, it was weird, man. But,
I was going to ask, like, do you remember like toward the end of school, what would you be feeling like knowing that you're going to go to California? And then at the end of the summer, what would you be feeling like?
I'd be excited when I'm going back to Cali. And I'd be excited to come back home. But you know when like you ever just feel like you're not, like, you don't belong? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there isn't a space that you feel like, okay, this is for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this home is for me, you know? And then when my mom had my little brother, when I was like 9, then a lot of her trauma dumping started happening on me because I was the, you know, older kid, and yeah. I could withstand some pain, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, that really became a tough season stepping into middle school. You know what I'm saying? With that type of, lack of like a sturdiness, yeah. you know,
which middle school is the worst anyway.
It is the absolute trashiest season of life. You know what I'm saying? People or kids are mean. So you know what
trashiest.
I'm saying? You're like going through puberty. So like, there's like a couple weeks where you're just like the ugliest thing ever because your body is just like, you know what I'm saying?
A couple
like,
weeks if you're lucky, a couple years for some of us.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just this awkward stage. And then like all of the kids I was around in Baltimore were just so grown. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And then I come to Cali and everyone's kind of like, you know, in Baltimore, it's like, yo, the home, our friend died.
Yeah.
Like we're mourning him and singing songs in the cafeteria. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Mourning this kid's death. And then we go to California. Someone's like, you know, needing to go to the counselor's office and be sent home because their dog died. And I just was like,
wow.
Though now I understand like how beautiful dogs are. Like for me, it just didn't compute.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah, our friend died. Let's all go to school and mourn together. And like someone's leaving because their dog, it just, I was like, what is this? You know, just different levels of life, you know? And honestly, California didn't feel real to me. Like it just felt like a figment of my imagination. I'm like, even the gang members, I'm like, dude, it's so sunny out here. Like, what are you guys mad about? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get it, you know?
What do you guys even fight about?
Yeah, what are you guys fighting for? Like,
you fight over beach like, towels or what? I mean, what's happening?
It just, I didn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? And so, it was a full circle moment when I was like ready to off myself at 19, calling my dad to say goodbye.
Jeez,
and him being the one that's like, bro, do me a favor, like, you know, hearing him cry for the first time, him being like, just come out here and start over. You can sleep on the floor, like, just start over. 2005, moved out to Cali. You know, I had one friend that I kept throughout my entire time because I lived in California at the age of like 12 for a little bit, 11, 12 and 13. And then that one friend was like praying for me throughout his entire high school year.
Whoa.
So then I came back out to Cali and I was like, I'll probably be out here for a couple years and just kind of start over and then go back. And then he shows me, he started taking me to church and then he would show me pages in his journal throughout the years of him praying for my salvation.
Please.
You know what I'm saying? And then I ended up like going to church and getting saved probably like November 2005, and then just got gifted with the gift of emceeing and DJing like crazy.
So was that then? I was going to ask when you got into music. Was that then?
Yeah, that was then, 19. I got into music, and then I started doing like Christian hip-hop with the Breaks and Ruslan, and then we morphed into something different when I started doing my solo thing. And then I started working with like Andy Mineo and Lecrae and those guys. Mm-hmm. We did the Dream Junkies thing, which was pretty successful and noteworthy. But
let me tell you something. So John and I, I've forgotten about the season life. And John, I'm sorry. Got the kids in the background.
That's what I was just thinking of.
Yeah. So
After Dark.
After Dark. So, you know, did you ever do any of those, Glenn, like any? Okay, so what this is Kanakuk is this huge kids camp in Missouri. The guy goes, I don't even know if they do anymore. Do you know, John? Is he still doing it? But he would do this thing where he would go campus to campus, the guy that ran Kanakuk, and it'd be sort of like, it was almost like a big tent revival vibe night, right? And so he would always get entertainment first because that's what would pull people. But there was nothing worse than me getting up with my guitar, like singing my acoustic songs. And then he's like, Lecrae. And it'd just be like, this room is slammed. I'm like, hey guys, thanks for having me out. Just want to sing some acoustic songs and be like, y'all stick around for Lecrae or Andy or whoever was doing it. And it would be, I never felt more useless as an entertainer. And every now and then I followed it, which was a nightmare. Like, I mean, it was, and this is early days, Lecrae, like real early days.
Well, we had we had show on the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
And he brought this up. He brought up that we were playing in somewhere, University of Georgia, maybe. And he was out there, and it was like a party. We're like at the basketball arena. There's like an arena full of kids. And I'm getting ready to go on. It's me at a piano, and then I brought a guitar player. And we were literally backstage with our iPhone, with GarageBand, trying to just get a beat going. And we're like, hey, could we plug it in with this? I mean,
it's
we're like, we're on in 25 minutes, and
it's
we're just
dark
like,
days.
And I'm like, do we have any songs that work with this?
Well, that's crazy, too, because I understand that, because we were underground hip hop.
Yeah.
So our hip hop was way more mellow and vibey.
Yeah.
You know, and so we'd have to be like making like these pump it up for Jesus songs that just were just to go at like before Lecrae.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Like the Mega Conference or something like that. And I was like, where do we don't belong here?
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
And that's really what my life is kind of centered around, is being in spaces I don't feel like I belong. Mm. Right. And then, like, this fatherhood space is, like, I belong here. Like, I definitely feel like I'm called to this position. My steps have been ordered right here, you know, even for this moment. So I feel like I belong. And not only that, even the music is intentional behind how we create it for fatherhood.
Yeah. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/dadville and get on your way to being your best self.
Dave, let me ask you a question. What's your energy level been like lately?
Guy, man, sometimes I feel exhausted.
You just started talking so slow.
I know. I was doing that to be like, oh,
okay.
I do feel exhausted, though, sometimes.
Yeah.
So much going on, work stuff, kids, activities, family, friends, church. It seems going on. I mean, I love it, but it can feel heavy sometimes.
I hear you. Seems like, you know, the better the weather gets, the more full my calendar gets, too.
I feel that.
Yeah. And like you said, most of it is stuff that we love, but it can be a lot.
It can. Sometimes I wonder what the right amount of socializing is for me, and I think about how I can best recharge.
Yeah. You know, Dave, I think therapy is a great way to help build the self-awareness to build a social life that can keep your energy level up.
I agree, you know? John. Therapy is a great way to learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. I think it could empower me to be the best version of myself.
I agree. And it's not just for those who have experienced big trauma. It can benefit anyone.
Yeah. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/dadville today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dadville. Dave. John, we all love summer, and our kids especially love summer, but we lose that consistent schedule of when kids are in school. And that can create some summer childcare problems.
You know what? Thankfully, though, Dave, there's a solution.
What?
Windy. That's W-Y-N-D-Y. Listen, it's an app that connects families to college student nannies literally in minutes. These nannies are background checked, interviewed, and honestly, just awesome, Dave.
That's right, John. And Windy has been around for 7 years and has been used by over 20,000 families. There are hundreds of qualified college student nannies on Windy near you, working full or part-time.
All you have to do is go to windy.com/dadville to start searching for a nanny. And as a special offer, they're going to knock off $50 off your search if you go through that link.
Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies.
Ooh.
And no ongoing fees.
Okay, so here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/dadville to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. You can choose the one you like.
Get started now, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summer.
That's right.
Go to wyndy.com/dadville.
So you're speaking of your mission. Your mission says family is the most important thing on earth, the most important unit on earth. The disconnection of family creates despair. We guide men into fatherhood, equipping them to love and lead their family into eternity. And then on your site, you had some like pretty shocking stats that I feel like are, you know, our real foundation behind your mission. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, the difference between, well, first of all, no one wants to do anything until they believe that they can do it. Right. And the way they believe that they can do it is when they see someone else do it. Mm-hmm. Right. It just is what it is. Yeah. Right. Like the mile record wasn't broken, and then everybody started breaking it like the next year. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just stats like that. And so what I recognized is fatherhood is like the most important role. I'm sorry. Being a husband is the most important role. Being a father is the greatest impact a man will ever have in his life.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. That right there is the truth, because your children will live longer than you, and they will make children who make children. And it all starts from what you did.
Hmm.
Right. So if that's the case, men are the most silent member of the family.
Hmm.
We do not talk about what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. We do not talk about how hard it is. We don't talk about much. Hmm. We don't talk about, hey, we're dealing with stuff financially, mentally. I'm depressed. Daddy needs a break. I need a hug right now. Can you pray for daddy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we're not vulnerable with our families.
Yeah.
And then those children grow up to make babies not being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so the griot, right, the individual who goes and tells stories so that people remember and they take them on throughout time. Right. Like, we have to now be that so that people aren't stepping into adulthood like, how did I get here? And why did you guys not tell me it was going to be like this?
Yeah.
You know, because that's how we all step into adulthood. We're like, what in the heck is this? This is ghetto. This is trash. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's always a problem. It's always my responsibility. I remember the first time, like, we had I'm a city boy, right? So I'm not like a farm animal type dude, right? So we're in the garage and we're smelling something. I'm like, what is that? Right. And then we lift up some like packages and there's like a lizard trapped in between like some binders. It got smashed, smelled. And I'm like, oh, freaking out. And Yvette's like, oh my gosh, that is crazy. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is my responsibility. Hmm. Like this, I gotta be the one to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, it just comes upon you, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so every problem is now you. And so I'm realizing that I was not trained well for fatherhood. And so I'm like, I refuse to let other people step into this season without knowing, hey, you're going to need to take a break. Your wife might need to leave for a week. She might need to leave for 3 weeks without talking to you because she has to start over on some things. She got to deal with her childhood trauma and it's worth it.
Mm.
You know, your children are going to need to cuddle at 11 years old. They're going to need to, like, your boy is going to have to cuddle in your arms at 11. Cause I didn't think that happened.
Yeah.
I thought that was a 2-year-old, 3-year-old thing. And so I just refuse to let people walk into this season, not knowing, you know, what they need.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and
that's beautiful.
When our kids grow up and then they're in that adult kind of space and they have memories of us being so stoic through the whole thing because we're keeping it all inside. And then they feel like, oh, I'm not doing this right because I'm not, you know, the stoicism gives you this false sense of steadiness and like, and everything that they're experiencing emotionally and all that kind of stuff gives them the message like, yeah, you're not doing this right. You're not whatever, you know?
Yeah, we'd rather have security and our fathers being stable than to have them vulnerable for our entire lives.
You know, it's that's so true. And it's such an interesting thing. My oldest, we got three, and my oldest boy, my oldest is a boy who's 12. And it's like, it's really interesting starting to navigate a little bit of that space with him, because like trying to figure out what's appropriate to tell him and also like what's too much, like what's, you know, because you're right. It's like, you want them to see you struggle. You want them, this is real life. At the same time, like, you know, you don't want them like, wait, what? Like, are we going to eat next week? You know, so it's interesting starting to have a relationship with him where he's growing up. And I'm like, hey, he needs to, you know, but at the same time, not get him like where he's stressing out, going to mom like, hey, do I need to go get some work? Is dad going to, we're going to be okay? So I think, you know, doing that is such a gentle, interesting thing, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting, but it also allows the child to be a witness to God's mercy and goodness.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know, hey man, I don't know, I don't want you guys to freak out, but I'm freaking out. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna let you guys know that I don't know what's gonna happen. Like, I'm concerned, but one thing I know is that God is going to do, God ain't going to leave me or forsake me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to do that to us either. So watch, I just want to let y'all know to pray.
Yeah.
And we going to all watch God do a miracle, because that's just what he does. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's great.
He always comes through, right?
Yep.
And so I'm not trying to protect my children from my pain. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I want them to be motivated. And here's something I failed at. You know, and this is like my, a new life's mission. I know at the end of the podcast when you guys go, what's next for you, right? And I tell you, right? But I'm going to tell you a little bit now, because it's extremely important in this season, right? You guys mentioned Uzi's videos and like the like kind of playback videos, okay? So I have so many more of those.
Oh,
but I realized Uzi doesn't like the way these, like when he watches it, he's kind of embarrassed. So I kind of stopped putting them out, and I'm waiting until he kind of, I see a different change in him. Also, noticing that my wife and I have really showed our son, our oldest son, that being an adult sucks. Mm. So now he doesn't look forward to growing up, which is not good, right? So she was taking him out one day, and she was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? This was probably like four years ago. He was like, I want to go rollerblading with mom, with you, right? And she goes, okay, cool. So he did something with me, did something with her. They go rollerblading, and he's like, okay, mom, I'll teach you how to rollerblade. And she's like, dude, I've been rollerblading since I was a kid. I know how to rollerblade. He was like, oh, I didn't know adults had fun.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Gosh.
So he doesn't see us do these things enough.
Yeah.
So I'm recognizing that we're trying to shelter him by just keeping our composure and not seeing us on our knees praising God, not seeing us exhilarated with wind, like, you know what I'm saying? Like rushing past us, like he doesn't see that enough. Mm-hmm. And so now we're trying to create a life that isn't about looking great or keeping this agency or whatever, or being successful in business, but just being good at living. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's great.
Which may be common sense for most people, but because I grew up the way I did, I'm not used to seeing that.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think the biggest thing you've had to learn growing up with a dad who, you know, you were seeing every summer, but not all the time? What's been like one of the biggest things you've had to realize as a dad yourself?
I mean, there's a lot in that statement, because there's things I've learned from that relationship with my father, right? And I think that's one thing, which is two things can be true, right? Like, he needed to leave for himself. Him leaving Baltimore, knowing how old he was, makes total sense.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, he was 19, or I think he was 20 when he moved. And I was 19 when I moved.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? There's something about that age when high school is done and all your friends are working and kind of getting into stuff that's, you know what I mean? Like, it's a problem, you know, if you don't have a focus and a mission.
Yeah.
So it was really good for his for my future, really good for his present at 19 or 20, really bad for my present at that age.
Wow.
Like, I needed him on a daily.
Mm.
But because he wasn't there, he was able to come to my rescue at 19.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I did ingest a lot of stuff I probably shouldn't have from a child's perspective.
Mm. Yeah. Man,
that's so interesting.
One of the things that I'm always so moved by, and I mean, sometimes the tears in your videos, is how, especially with your boys, like, you're just so hands-on and so intentional. Like, in fact, I wasn't going to ask this, but I wondered with you cutting their hair, because I know you talk about how much you enjoy cutting their hair. Do you think that has to do something with you going with your dad to the barbershop, sharing that time?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That I don't think it registered to me in that way. Huh. My dad didn't cut my hair, but whenever I was in the presence of another man, I realized how susceptible I was to information around me.
Wow.
Because when you're in the barbershop, the black barbershop is like, everyone's talking. They're talking about politics. They're talking about music. They're talking about women. They're talking about sports. And everything is just right in my ear. And I'm just kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm like, oh, right? Like, it's too much information, right? So
my dad
would be there listening, watching, knowing that I needed to see this type of interaction, but being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said this. You know what I'm saying? For my kid.
Yeah.
And I realized, okay, this is a form of access that I want with my sons.
Mm.
So I want to be able for them, you know, because a barber is like a therapist for many people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't talk to nobody and sit still until we sit into the barbershop.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought.
And so I realized, oh, this is a form of access I can have with my kids. Mm. And I started cutting hair at 18.
Oh, dang.
Right? But I knew one day if I had kids, I would want to have that ability.
Yeah, but you're so good at it too, man. Like, the attention to detail is really insane. The other thing I was going to say is I love, and envy so much your intentionality. I think if there was anything that I probably want to be the best at that I struggle the most with is intentionality, like as a dad. Just like really, but I feel like you do that so well. Like, how do you navigate that? What does that look like to you?
I appreciate it, man. You guys give me mad flowers right now. I'm a little flattered, you know what I'm saying? But if I could blush, I would. Black boys do blush, you know what I'm saying? But I just want you to know I'm blushing.
That's the next podcast. Right.
Black boys blush, right? Right. So I would say that having the type of children I have makes me very curious.
Oh, wow. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because they are they're so different,
mm-hmm.
and they're all very expressive, mm-hmm. and they're all very funny, right? So our children, okay, so this is what I know early on. I learned that they annoy me, okay? Real bad, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But what annoys me about them could be a gift to their future.
Yes, yes.
So I don't want to silence their gift because I'm annoyed.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. There you go.
You know what I mean?
That's such a good word.
So that is the struggle I'm always going with, because I'm like, bro, shut up, bro. Like, you're so loud. Like, we're right here. You know what I'm saying? And another kid, I'm like, I can't hear nothing you're saying. Talk up. Speak up.
Yeah, louder. Yeah, yeah.
Like, why are you whispering to me from all the way over there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then we'll wrestle and fight. And fun stuff. But I know that I have to apologize. Like, the best thing you can do as a father is apologize. Yeah. As any parent, is apologize. Yeah. Man, I shouldn't have said that. Man, I was tripping. I'm so sorry. And they go, I accept your apology. Children are extremely forgiving.
Yeah, thank goodness.
And we hug and we whatever. But knowing that things that, but like, you look at like some of the great people in this world, like, the things that it was like Uriah, my second oldest, he didn't really start walking. He just crawled and started running.
Oh, wow.
You know, those kids that kind of, they get up and they just, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, go for it. So I know for sure that he's overconfident.
Mm-hmm.
He very clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he laughs his way through everything, right? So I'm recognizing that he's going to need a lot more support and a lot more grace, and he's going to be a late bloomer, right? But I'm also not like, bro, slow down. Knock it off. You're doing it. I'm just like, hey, man, you have a tendency to fall a lot. I just want to let you know you can't go out there without a helmet.
Yeah.
So my intentionality is knowing that you're going to fall.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. Yeah. That's part of your MO. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, paying attention.
Just paying attention is not your jam.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think about him and I'm like, bro. He just is all over the place. You know what I'm saying? But everyone loves him.
Yeah.
They, but you give like more than 2 hours, you're annoyed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But you get with him for an hour. Oh my gosh.
You love him.
He's the best kid ever. You know what I'm saying? But I know for in the future, he's going to be a late bloomer. That's how some kids are, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Like, I'm not trying to be, to get every single thing right. I'm just trying to notice like potential for growth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Each one of our kids has a huge amount of growth that they can do. But it's just like sometimes as parents, we're so focused on how we need to get through the day.
Yeah.
We're just annoyed.
Right. You know? Well, and you're not, I feel like Dave, you talk about this a lot. You are not trying to stick to some sort of copy paste. This is how I parent.
Hello, Dave. Wow.
Okay, yours was better than mine. Johnny.
Thanks.
Are you loving this warmer weather? Summer is just around the corner.
Dave, I am so glad that you brought that up because the weather has been so great. I'm playing tennis, right? I'm sitting outside on the porch in my tennis shoes, going for walks in different shoes. I don't walk in tennis shoes. Yeah, I mean, it's so nice. And honestly, I don't really want to be spending too much time in the kitchen making meals because there's so many other
John. That's where Factor comes in. You can fuel up with Factor's no prep, no mess meals, so you can spend more time outside.
Okay, it sounds good, but Dave, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Can I meet my wellness goals in time for summer with Factor?
I hope you've got goals and then more goals, John, because we'd call you Cristiano Ronaldo. Soccer joke.
Hey-o.
And guess what? And then some, John. It's going to be just fine. Factor has chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. And Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Dave, that sounds so awesome. You've talked me into it. I'm ready.
Wow, that was easy.
I'm ready to kickstart my routine with 35 different meals.
Good gracious.
And more than 60 add-ons to choose from, Dave. Did you know that? I'm educating you now. And these are restaurant-quality meals like filet mignon, right? Shrimp. Blackened salmon.
Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Choose from 6 menu preferences to help you manage calories, maximize protein intake, avoid meat, or simply eat well-balanced.
Head to factormeals.com/dadville50 and use the code dadville50 to get 50% off. That's 50, 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code DADVILLE50 at factormeals.com/DADVILLE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
I have one kid, I have two, I have four. You're you know, customizing it for every kid that you have because they're different human beings, which is the way it should be.
And I think I got a vasectomy like 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I watched the video.
Man, holy cow.
Not the video of the vasectomy, just for the listeners. Or you haven't uploaded that one yet. I don't know.
No, not today.
Thanks
for clarifying that because that,
that was going to be
going viral.
A lot of hits. Yeah.
I could have more.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife and I's marriage wouldn't sustain it.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm realizing that in order to, I can't speak up for myself to a pregnant woman.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's just not happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to take all them L's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're just going to sit through it, you know? And then after the baby turns 2, you could be like, all right, so you know what bothered me?
17 months ago.
Yeah.
You said something.
Yeah, yeah. But I realized that I can only parent differently so much. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, sometimes, yo, it's just bedtime. I need y'all to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then other times it's like, all right, man, I have enough space in my heart right now to hold you for another hour or to give you 15 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I'm gonna be honest with you, that it's not for the weak. Like, mm-hmm. I hope I don't make it look easy.
How do you navigate that? I feel like, you know, you make such a good point, especially with four of them. It's like you're dealing with a lot of different personalities, a lot of different needs. But how do you, like, one thing I love so much, especially when you watch the clips of you and your wife, is you're always just so honest. And I think something that scares me probably the most about being a dad is like being too honest. And my wife does not struggle with that. Like, that's her superpower. And she's taught me a lot about how kids can really handle your honesty. And I was always like, no, you got to be like gentle. Because my mom is like the sweetest. And one of the things I like the most about her mothering me was she was just so tender. You know, she was very affectionate and very warm. And she never like brought the hammer. But because, so that's what I know. But like, I'm seeing with my kids, I'm like, man, they can really handle it when I got to be like, yo, stop. Leave me, walk out the room. I need a minute. And like my mom would have never done that, you know, nor my dad really. And so how do you navigate that with yours where you're like, you know, I need this, or like, be quiet or like whatever. Do you find yourself going like, I got to apologize a lot? Are you like, no, they can handle it? Or how do you navigate that?
Yeah. Well,
just really being you is what I'm asking. Like, how do you navigate just really being yourself with these four?
Yeah. So I'm better at it with my children and my wife. I'll say that, you know what I'm saying? Cause telling her the truth, sometimes I'm like, man, I'm trying to sleep tonight. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? it's harder, you know what I mean? But I'm getting better at that through my therapist. And I would say that one thing that's really important to me is like, I have no time to be misunderstood.
Mm.
I don't got time for that.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm telling you things and it's for your life's benefit that you just listen and do what I ask you to do. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, other times we can have discourse, but the thing is, like, I let them know, like, hey, you have an open floor to talk to me about it when I give you the opportunity to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so right now, I just need you to listen to me. Go over there. I understand. Stop. Go over there and give me a minute. You know what I'm saying? And then we can talk about it later. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And then sometimes it's harder to get it back from them because I didn't let them speak in a moment. But that's the work I got to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, so what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? And they go, well, you're going to get mad. Yeah, it probably, but that doesn't mean anything's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I get mad about really simple things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so let's not use that as a base to tell me the truth. What's the problem? Well, you did this with Anaya and you didn't let me do this. Mm-hmm. And that's not fair. And no one likes me here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's break it all down. Okay. Anaya is this age. Are you this age? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think Anaya needs? And what do you think you need? You know what I mean? Do I also let you do things that she doesn't get to do? Mm-hmm. Right? Right. So let's think about what's happening in truth. Right. And so I got to break all that down and he could just be like, I'm still mad.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's not my problem.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you can forgive me. You cannot. I understand you're still mad. Take a breather.
Mm-hmm. Well, you made this point and I wanted to ask you about this. Something that John and I mean, I think if we talk about anything, this is probably the thing we talk about the most, not just on the podcast, but just like when we're hanging, is this, how our kids are going to think about us when we get older, right? Like what, you know, when they're sitting around and we're not there and they all go to dinner somewhere, you know, like, is it going to be cool? Is it going to be bad? And you sort of spoke in one of your videos about this, and I was so curious about what you meant by this, but you said after 2 years of learning the tough lesson sort of in that space, what was that lesson?
Yeah. So if you watch the full video on YouTube, Uriah and Theo both started hockey at the same time, right? Theo's like, yo, I'm about to play hockey. And he went out there and they both were trash, but Theo just watched the game. They watched the game. He watched the game and was like going crazy with it. And Uriah got embarrassed. He hit the puck. It went like 2 inches. He whiffed it. And then he got embarrassed and left the thing and never got back on skates.
Oh, dang.
Okay. So now, 2 years later, Theo's averaging like 3 hat tricks a season.
Dang.
Wow. He's really good.
Wow.
On the inline. Like, he's really good inline, right? So he's like, I'm going to transition to ice. I want to go to NHL. I'm like, okay. Right? That's like the most non-black sport ever. I'm like, fine. We'll do it. I will support this.
I love it.
Ugh, right? So I'm like, all right, cool. So then Uriah starts, like, he starts seeing Theo win championships. Mm-hmm. He starts seeing, like, all this stuff. And he's like, okay, I want to go. I want to try out again. He tries out, and he does a good job trying out, but he's obviously not anywhere where he should have been.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then I go, hey, man, like, how do you feel about quitting? Like, you quit, and now you started again. I'm interviewing him on the episode, and he's like, I don't know. I wish I would have kept going. And I was like, should I have let you quit?
Hmm.
He was like, no, you shouldn't have let me quit. You should have forced me to do it.
Wow.
That's the lesson.
Wow.
Right? Hmm. The lesson is, you're going to hate me right now, but you have to do this because you're going to love me for it later.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and right now I'm like, bro, Raya, he's a little bit of a heavier kid. He's not as coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
So we got him in boxing. He said he wanted to box, so he's boxing.
Hmm.
I'm like, all right, cool, but you're going to box. And he's like, I don't really like boxing right now. I'm like, well, if you're going to play hockey, you're going to have to box. It's just something I'm not having, like, you can't be missing teeth and all that stuff, like, because this is dental issues, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about the bills.
There's logistics here. There's finances.
These are going to be expensive, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need to be durable. And so well, I don't want to box anymore. I just want to do hockey. I just want to do that. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't let you quit that. Because you just told me
that
I can't let you quit the other
right.
thing,
yeah.
You know? So now I realize that it's okay to be hated for a season and be like, yeah, you're not going to like this decision.
Yeah,
that's
okay. Yeah.
I'm okay with that, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah,
it's so tough, man. I started taking piano lessons when I was 4. Because I'm the youngest of 3, and so my older sister and my older brother, they were doing piano lessons, so of course I wanted to do piano lessons. And I don't have a memory. I was so young when I started, I don't even remember starting. All I remember is hating it, always. I always hated it. And my parents, for years and years and years, like decade plus, just weekly talked me back and just would not let me quit. And I mean, praise the Lord that they kept me in it because I don't have any other skills. This is my one thing. I think that they could sense that. But it's tough now that I have kids. I, of course, like music has given me so much that I'm like, I want my girls to have what I have. And it doesn't have to be music, but when you see that they've got a little bit of a knack for it, you know, you want to push. But it's tough. It's tough to know, like, when do you let go? When do you push? You don't want to push so hard that they get burnt out and then, you know, they walk away forever. I don't know. It's tough.
And I think that is just, you know, that is the struggle of a father in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Because there's always a moment where you're kind of like, do I push or do I let go?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're teaching a kid how to ride a bike. Do I hold on for a little bit?
Yeah.
It's that moment that is fathering. Do I work this extra hour or do I take off to go hang out with the kids?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I stay up late and lack sleep? You know what I'm saying? Or do I just go to sleep because I'm tired? Like, is it about me?
Mm.
Is it about, like, that is it. And I think the cool thing about it is that my relationship with the Lord tells me that this is exactly how it's supposed to be.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you think about the decisions that, you know, fathers in the Bible had to make.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like Abraham, right? Like, God said I was going to have a kid. You old, right? Now, she's like, won't you just, you know, sleep with Hagar? You know what I'm saying? And he's like, if I must. You know what I'm saying?
She's like, why are you already nude? Well, you said, I'm going to walk over that way. I'll be back.
Let me finish the sentence.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a decision.
Yeah.
you know, of who to honor. And I don't know if I have time. Like when we had to tell our son, I don't have time to be misunderstood. Right. You got to do it because your future, it may be bad for your present, but your future is going to love it. And that's one thing that my dad had to make a decision when he was like, move to California. This is going to be a better place for my son to grow up. Maybe I'll get custody one day. And maybe he'll just have a place to, but I can't live in Baltimore. It's just not going to be good for me. Yeah. All my friends are in jail or they're getting on drugs. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
That is that moment right there. And so full circle, I can answer that question and say, I don't think my dad did the wrong thing.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And that has that, but I still want answers because that decision making helps me make my next decisions.
Yeah.
You know? But what happens is like with my dad, like when I question him about it, he was like, I'm only gonna talk about this once.
Wow.
And I'm like, absolutely you will not. You will ask her every time I ask you, you will answer me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like I seen him kind of getting irritated. I'm like, so are you trying to scrap? Because we could scrap it out because I have questions. You know what I mean? Like, it's important for me to understand your mindset because I'm making these same decisions.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that, like, even him having the humility to answer that question over and over and over again and trying to fight it off at first, but answering the question helps me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple questions that I want to ask about your wife and your podcast. And I really, it's great. I love it.
Thank you.
You guys seem to have such a great, I mean, obviously you got great chemistry, but the, you know, you're very open. You seem to be very honest and just kind of an open book about the topics that you talk about.
By the way, the question that you avoided when she asked about the, bro, I was like, I can't believe, like, you can't win when she asked about, like, would you rather have like a attractive wife that the sex is bad, or I mean that question, and you stood there. I was like, "How? What's he gonna do?"
And then that's marriage.
You played the right card, my man. You were
that
like,
moment,
yeah, no
that
comment.
Moment right there.
Yeah,
that's marriage.
That's it.
What do I say here?
Oh, you know gosh, what I'm saying? I started sweating immediately. I was
the other day. She's like getting dressed, and then she like, you know, we've been together 13 years. She goes, "Have my boobs changed?" And I just looked at her.
Like, is that the fire alarm?
I just looked at her and she saw me like doing the like, what in the F did you just say to me? Like in my head. And then like me thinking about like backflipping through the window, you know what I'm saying? Like and jumping out. And she was like, never mind. And I was like, exactly.
I just had this image of you literally just beautifully, perfectly jumping back, flip through the window, and just like, taking off down the street. Like, just like, what am I supposed to do with that question?
Yeah, I was like, what?
But you guys posted a video about submitting a little while back, and I am really fascinated with this topic. My wife and I both. Years ago, we were in a small group at our church in Indiana back in the day. And this topic kind of came up, and it was really fascinating. At that point in our small group, we had really got to know these other couples. And so we had a sense of their, you know, as much as you can without being in the relationship itself. We had a sense of like, Darren and Emily, this is kind of their dynamic. And, you know, these other couples, like, you know, we had a sense. And then this topic of submitting came up, and it was fascinating to hear how everyone sort of viewed it. And, you know, my wife and I were like, well, we kind of view it as like, we're equal. Like, I don't, it's not like I'm running the show and she's submitting. It's not vice versa. It's not, you know, it was just really, really interesting. And so I'm curious what your thoughts are on that. Obviously, you're married to a brilliant, strong woman. And you guys are, you know, a team, and you got four kids, and you run a business together. Like, what does submitting look like in your house?
We got loud neighbors. Sorry. Let me close this door. Sorry. You know. Sorry. As I try to avoid
you
the question.
You don't want her to hear.
I was like, that was good. All of a sudden, we see backflip through the window. We're like, oh, I did it. He really can do it.
You know, that's a really good question for my wife. You know, I can only explain how I've seen it manifest over time, but I liken it to there's certain areas of your life that is easy to submit to in certain areas, right? But it's other areas where you don't want to let go of things. And I would think that, I would say that, you know, the standard Christian reading the Bible and trying to walk it out is easy when there's not a lot of depth. But when you've spent so much time together and she's not, her lack of submission, her submission or lack thereof is not based on anything that has to do with you, but dealing with her own childhood stuff, it's not really something you can control. You know what I'm saying? And so there are things about our marriage that is really easy for my wife to be like, you got it, Chief. Which what we gonna do, you know? And there's other areas she's like, I don't care what you do, that is not happening. Right? And we've had more of those that's not happening seasons recently. And this is why I say she's so great, is because she did the work and had the tough conversations with her therapist, her mentor, and realized that, oh, I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? And so what is it? I think the saying is a lesson learned is better than a lesson taught.
Wow.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so not that I'm teaching her a lesson, but I'm trying to get her to be like, yo, you know, because all right, so transparently, I'll say this because we talk about this on the next upcoming podcast. She's like, yo, like, there's no way. Okay, her belief was that there's no way that I'm going to, like, leave the people I care about alone just because of you, because you might leave me, right? And I'm like, talking to my therapist, I'm like, what evidence have I shown her that I was going to leave her? Like, I've always been here. And she's just like, yeah, but you could lose your mind. Like, anything could happen. And you know how men are, you know what I'm saying? And that was something that was a reflection of her childhood. You know what I'm saying? Where something happened and her dad went through a little season of, you know, a rough thing. And I had to go to her dad because he asked me, like, yo, are you taking care of my daughter? You know what I'm saying? And I was kind of like, I let him have that. And then he asked me again. And I just was like, look, you can't ask me that no more. Because if I'm not, I'm doing the best I can. But if I am having a harder time, it's because of some stuff you did.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? That's making it harder for me.
Dang.
You know what I'm saying? And so.
What did he say?
He just heard me. You know, and like I said before, I have no time to be misunderstood, right? Like, I could die tomorrow. Like, I don't want nobody to be like, I wonder what he was thinking. Like, no, we know exactly what that dude was thinking. You know what I'm saying? And so we're walking through this season of her realizing that some people in the perception may have become idols. And it's not for me. Like, success for me isn't her submitting to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's stupid, right? You know, success for me is her being whole. You know what I'm saying? And what's going to help her be whole and what's going to help me be whole is relinquishing my will and relinquishing my, like, have to have it this way and be like, I'm going to be faithful. Let's watch God do his thing. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to work. I'm going to watch God do his thing. I'm going to let go of this idol. I'm going to watch God do his thing.
Well, and you guys speak so well to this in the podcast, like the idea, which, man, I think is, if there's a lesson I've learned about marriage in the last, 2 to 3 years, is you really can't be your spouse's hero, you know?
Yes.
And I think, I mean, John and I talk about this all the time, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but, you know, I think, I don't know, it feels like in Christendom 20, 30 years ago when I was coming up, you know, it felt like that message was out there. Like, you know, you are one together. And especially as a dad, like, you know, it is on you to be the provider. And God sees the family through you. Like, you're the dude, and then all the everybody lines up behind you, you know? And I think, you know, I just made some terrible decisions in my marriage because I thought, like, it's on me, you know? And, like, if she's struggling, then I got to be there. Like, if she's – and, you know, sometimes that's true, but I think, like, y'all talked about so well, it's like, you know, she's her own person. You're your own person, you know?
Well, yeah. There's a difference between being there and fixing something.
Well, and just codependency.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like – that whole thing,
yeah,
which I appreciated.
I saw your things cracked, so and I was wondering if I could get if I could see if there's any Barbies in there.
Yeah, do you think?
Oh my God. The way that the she presented that question
was
the hands,
off the charts.
The hands twirling. Like, I could see you because you're like, something about this. I don't know what's happening right now. She's doing like the cute face. She's doing her hands.
Oh, that was adorable.
Did you, and I mean, you watching her, I was like, I know that feeling. So, especially with your daughter, man. Because they know. They're like, if I do this right, I got him. And
yeah.
Like, you were like, oh, where you going?
Yeah.
What you doing?
I was just trying to see, you know, I don't know. You know, you never know what's going to come at the end of that. You know what I mean? So you're kind of like, yeah, man. But we're in my office right now. So she's very like,
oh, yeah.
She's just like trying to be respectful of everything.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, dude, we know you got a parent. So we got, first of all, thanks for being with us. We got the speed round.
Thank you.
You ready for the speed round?
Absolutely.
Buckle up for the speed round. All right, I'll go first. Here you go.
What's the rules?
There's no rules. It's only right. It's like Outback. If you could record with any MC, who would it be?
Ooh. Black Thought, easily.
God, he's a different thing, man. He is a different thing. I watched an interview with somebody talking about him. Oh, I can remember this for thinking about it long enough. But it's somebody that's also really respected. And his name came up, and they're like, people don't understand. They were like, I know he kind of gets his flowers, but they were like, people really don't understand with him. And I was like,
I would pay top dollar to just sit in a recording session and watch him think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a different thing. That's good.
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to be a part of this next question. If you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oof. I'd probably say my sister because she passed away. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just to have like one more moment with her would be sick. And my grandmother together, mm-hmm. like just that little, and she's still alive. But they talk about Jesus in a way together that it's just like it's like listening to like a choir, just having conversations about God. So it's pretty dope.
You got one more if you want to use it. You don't have to though.
Oh, three people. I was including myself there. Obviously it would be Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a cop out
anyway, though, right? Isn't that what we believe?
Yeah, he's gonna be there anyway. Okay. So let's just say he's there anyway. I would say, like, my firstborn grandchild.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good answer.
We haven't had that answer. Yeah. Man, that's such a.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good. That's really good. Wouldn't it be a trip? I mean, none of us are this age yet, but wouldn't it be a trip to like sit with like your 40-year-old grandkid? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like not just like little or even like 15-year-old, like grown up grandkid. I don't know a lot of people get to do that.
Yes.
All right. If you could switch jobs with anybody, what would you do?
I'd probably switch jobs with my wife.
Because you would be a delight to work with, just you and you.
I would trade positions with her. Like I'd had her. I'd go back to being a stay at home dad.
Yeah,
Not to say that I would do it better, but I see the amount of weight that she carries and trying to be like perfect, and I don't have that same thing.
Yeah.
So I would just want to be like, I got this.
You know,
get over it.
You know what's so funny? My wife said this to me last night, and we both were kind of laughing about it. But she was like. Because my son came in last night, one of my boys, and was like kind of stressed. And I just wasn't having it. Like, I know this sounds terrible, but I feel like I read it right. where he was like, and I walked back to his bed and he literally laid down and I patted his chest and I was like, you're going to be all right. And he was like, and I just left. And then he went to sleep and he was fine. My eyes laid down the bed and he was like, I feel like you handle that well a lot of times because you just don't entertain whatever they're thinking. And I was like, I don't know if it's right. Sometimes I'm just selfish. But then sometimes I'm like, I do feel like a dad sometimes, especially with your boys, has a little bit of a sixth sense. So I'm like, all right, this is either true or not. And that moment I was, but it's funny because I was like, there's so many times with Annie. And I mean, this is what makes women and wives so great. But I'm like, you just don't have to put up with all this. Just like,
yeah,
like Thor hammer this thing and we're done. You know?
Well, you know, it's so crazy. I watch, having cameras everywhere is so great.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Because I get to watch them make decisions on like, okay, do I want to cry or not? Like Uzi just got his skates. He just learned how to skate. His brother, he just got his hockey, his new hockey stick, got his helmet on. He's walking outside and we have a deck, but he takes the stairs on his skates.
Oh,
falls down the stairs and like gets to the bottom of the stairs and is like, ah, and he's looking at himself. He sees blood and then he looks at his hockey stick and gets up and keeps moving. So I recognize that he's stronger than I think he is. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he made a decision not to cry because he knew it was going to stop him from having fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm using that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Last question. If you could write a book on fatherhood, what would the title be?
It would be Belief in Fatherhood.
Come on.
It would be Belief in Fatherhood. It would document, it would tell all the stories that I deleted off YouTube. Mm-hmm. It would further flesh out the intricate mind that I make in decisions, because fatherhood is like you're presented with a problem and you have to make the right decision so that you don't cause childhood trauma in like a second and a half.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you're like, I hope that was the right one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And onward, you know? And so it would slow down those moments a little bit more of like how many different routes I take in my mind before I say yes or no or whatever. Mm. And what my wife, when my daughter just came in here and asked for, she asked for access. Mm. Hey, can I have this? Right. So I knew that's what she was asking for. Mm. Right. But she knows that she has a tendency to take things without asking. Mm. So the fact that she did that was honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I recognize that as honor. And so the position that she came and twirling her fingers was asking me, hey, do I have access? Mm-hmm. And absolutely you do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I need you to tell me when you want access, because I don't want you to think you have free reign everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say this though? The book that I would write is Belief in Fatherhood. A really good book that everybody needs to read. Mm. And I think you guys know this guy is John Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
Intentional
Fatherhood. Bro. Mm-hmm. We had him on.
That book is so good.
Man, it's like a 2x4 to the face.
Yes.
I'm like, yo.
Such a good book. Changed a lot about my fathering and how I pursued my own father.
Mm.
So I would just want to nod to that book and shout out to Jefferson Bethke, who you guys are getting as a neighbor.
I know. I texted him about that.
And
why would you leave Hawaii? Exactly.
You know, have you been to his place?
No.
I've never been anywhere like that in my life.
It looks the insane.
It was insane. Perfect. It is, you know, we stayed on his property twice. I understand why, you know what I'm saying? I get it. Like you said it and all that stuff, but that dude is incredible.
Yeah. They're great.
He's an incredible human. Yeah. He's just a good guy.
Yeah. Well, again, Glenn, thank you.
This is
everybody
so
that's listening, you got to check out Belief in Father. What if it's YouTube, if it's the website, if it's the Instagram, if it's the podcast, it's just great, man. I'm so thankful for what you're putting out in the world. We love what you're doing. Just want to encourage you to keep doing it because it's powerful stuff, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah. Dadville.